Well, with this being Thanksgiving week, the message for today is thankful for Calvary. With that, turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. And if you would stand as I read from God's Word. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, we are truly thankful for this passage of scripture right here that we read, because one of the greatest things ever done for us was Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood for our sins. So, God, today we are thankful for Calvary and what Calvary means to us. And Lord, I pray that as I speak this message, that Lord, you will speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And let nothing come from my own words or my own thoughts. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As I go back, a lot of thinking went into this message. And, you know, we can go way back to when our country was founded. I used to joke around and say, well, when the Pilgrims came over on the Titanic in 1942, but you know, just to kind of throw people off and get a little laugh on the Sunday message. But you know, really, if we look back at it, when the Pilgrims came over, the basis for our country being founded, our country was founded on God. And if we didn't have what happened on Calvary's cross, our country could not have ever been founded on the Lord if this event had never happened. If the King of Kings and Lord of Lords had not given his life on Calvary's tree so that you and I would have freedom that we experience today. But when the Pilgrims came over, they believed in God. And so when our country was founded, everything was founded on the principles of God and his love and his blessings. Now, you can look at our country today and you may not see that, but do you realize that the strength of what God, the power of what God has given us, it is still very much in effect today because it's never been changed, and I don't believe that it ever will be. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I'm thankful that these people came over and discovered America. And you know, though, I don't have to go through the history lesson on all that. But you know, this time of the year rolls around, and that's when we roll out the pumpkins and the fall leaves, and you see the happy Thanksgivings, and then people stand up and say, "Well, this is what I'm thankful for." I want us to be encouraged today to remember Thanksgiving every day of our life, because we should be thankful for what Christ did. Because like I said, without Christ, we would have nothing else. Life would have no meaning. And we would not be able to enjoy all that we got. When I'm around my family, sometimes I just sit back and I look at everybody that's around the table, and my heart is filled with a lot of gladness, because I am so happy that God has put the people in my life who have encouraged me, who have prayed for me, who have laughed with me, who've cried with me, who've shared some times together. And I thank God for that, because those are the people that God intended to be in my life. Now, in order to be truly thankful, in order for us to understand what God has done for us, then our lives have to be transformed by what happened on the cross. When Jesus died and when we received him, the Bible says, that our sins were washed whiter than snow. The old man has died, and we have been given a new spirit, a new man to live by. We've been given a brand new beginning, basically a new chapter to start in our life. And in order for our lives to mean something, we have to be transformed completely by the Holy Spirit from the pattern of what the world lives and what the world does. And we got to be transformed by how God wants us to live our lives. And I believe wholeheartedly that God wants us to be thankful in every way. I am so thankful that when I walk in here on Sunday morning, that there are people here, that people are here ready to worship. I'm very thankful today that we may be just few in number, but you know what? We are great in spirit together, and we're going to enjoy a meal downstairs. And all of this is because of what the Lord has done. If our lives had never been transformed, if we had never been given the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, then you and I wouldn't be here today. So this is why I say I encourage that we really sit back and look at everything that God has given to us. Romans 12:2 tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So our minds have to be transformed. Our hearts were transformed when we received Jesus. And now the mind has to be completely transformed. The mind has got to get away from the things of the world. And I think I preached this before, that we've got to set the mind, got to set our heart up above our mind. Jesus lives in the heart, and we have to live by the fruit of the Spirit. And if we would learn to get this heart and put it up above the mind and think with our heart, you know, because the mind's a battlefield. The mind is where the devil gets in, and the devil likes to throw us a curveball, and he wants to wreck our day. So I always try to tell people, if we can all encourage one another, don't think with the mind, because a lot of yuck comes into that mind sometimes. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, which means you're saying, Lord, I give up the ways of this world, and I want to see things as you see them. Help me to see people's hearts and not their external resource, or not their external self. And Laura made a good point this morning. You know, there's times that we get people put in front of us, and man, they try our patience. It may be a child, it may be a teenager, it may be an adult. And sometimes people get put in front of us, and boy, they get right underneath us like a burr underneath a horse's saddle. And if you've ever seen a horse get a burr under the saddle, it's not a pretty picture. But people can get underneath our skin, and if we try to love them, or if we try to see them with what we see in our mind, we're gonna take the ship on a whole different course. But if we learn to see people as God sees them, and if we would look at their heart, set aside what's on the outside, but look deep in, because see, that's where God looks at us. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of letting some people in my day go, oh my word, why did I even come here today? What, Lord, why did you even put me in this area? Because now I've got to deal with this. And instead of being like that, I'm supposed to be the preacher going, hey, Lord, I'm thankful for that person. Lord, what is it that I could say to them today that would be a blessing and not a hindrance? So Lord, let my mind be transformed, and let me see things as you see, as let me see people as you see them. You know, if you look back at Saul in his life, Saul murdered Christians. He hated Christian people. He despised them. He breathed, slept, and ate murder and violence toward Christian people. And when Saul was on the road to Damascus and he had his encounter with the Lord, you remember what happened. Saul, his heart was overtaken. He was overpowered by the Spirit of the Lord. And God basically was questioning Saul as to why was he so much against him. Well, we know why. The enemy doesn't want us being close to God. The enemy doesn't want us to be close to one another. So he finds ways to cause separation. But if we will remain the course, and if we pray together, fellowship together, be thankful for one another, and love each other as God loves us, and if we say we love God, and we show that to everybody else, then we know that we are going to throw the devil a curveball, and we're going to tell him, basically, we're not going to let you be a part of our life. We're not going to let you be a part of our church. We are going to grow, and we are going to go forward as the Lord wants us to. So, the devil is involved in Saul's life in such a deep way, but when God got a hold of him, and Saul became Paul, and guess what? He got thrown in prison. He was not treated very nice a lot of the times. You know what Paul continued to do? Paul continued to write scripture inspired by God. Paul continued to work for the Lord. Paul continued to be thankful, all because his heart and his mind had been completely transformed. And it's all because of Calvary and what Jesus did. I like in the scripture in verse 30 when Jesus said, "It is finished." Well, what was finished? God's plan. God's plan, and God knew that the only way for us to be redeemed was to send His only begotten Son to die. And Jesus knew He had to do it. He didn't want to. It really wasn't what, you know, I mean, really, think about it. The Son of God having to leave the glory of heaven. Could you imagine? I want you to imagine this for a moment in your mind. Let's say you died and you went to heaven. And you, man, you're really enjoying heaven. Could you imagine if an angel came up to you and says, "Well, the Lord wants you to go back because there's more work for you to do." How many of you would want to come back here? Well, now think about Jesus. He's the Son of God, a man who knew no sin, on the cross became sin for you and I, and caused the Father to turn His head away from Him, because other writers in the Gospels here have painted the picture that the sky grew very dark, the veil of the temple was ripped and torn, and there was a great earthquake. And in another one of the Gospels, it says when Jesus had given up the spirit, the tombs had opened up, and the dead had came out and started to walk around. So all this had taken place so that you and I could accept the free gift of salvation and have the shed blood of Jesus atoned over our hearts and lives, cleaning us up from sin, renewing our mind, and giving us a brand new hope. There were some of us talking the other day, and the discussion got turned toward church. And somebody said, "You know what? I go to a very large church, and I don't like it anymore." And the comment got made that I feel like a number. I feel like that our own pastor don't even know us because there's way too many people there. And the music is so loud, and there's lights, there's flashing lights and the loud drums, and everybody kind of doing all this thing all over the place. And they said, "I feel like I'm at a rock concert." They said, "I don't even feel like I'm at church." And I made the comment, I said, "Well, you know what? I wish we could go back to the old country church ways. Because you know what? Back in the day, now I'm not saying let's backtrack, but I wish we could get back to the meat and potatoes of our relationship and getting our hearts back on God. I would rather preach in a lean-to type of building with some wooden pews with a few folks who really wanted to worship Jesus rather than pastor a mega church where there's 5,000 people and nobody knows one another and everything seems like it's being catered to the members, but there's not any work being done out in the mission field that God's prepared for us to go to. I would rather preach to two people or three people that were faithful than to preach to a whole bunch in a church that didn't know what was going on. And sadly, that's where we have gotten today. Everybody worries when they put up a church building. Now, I've seen this. Well, we want to have a nice church. We want to have marble. We want to have this and that and the other. We want to have fancy bathroom facilities. Well, what for? Well, we want to impress the community. We want people to come to our church. Well, you know, we don't go to church because of the fixtures. We don't go because of the pretty marble and tile. We should be going to church because God is alive inside of our heart and life, and we are being drawn to wherever it is to fellowship with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, so that when we leave church, we can say, man, I've been preached to today. Or maybe my toes got stepped on. Thank you, Lord, whatever it is. Thank you, Lord. Now, we must be transformed into the likeness of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our identification is not in the world. That's why our mind has to be transformed. We identify ourselves as Christians, so our identity is in Christ, not in groups of people or not in other religions and what they say and do, but our identity is in Christ. And let me tell you this, when our identity is in Jesus Christ, when He is in the very heart of our life and when He is at work, I guarantee you that people will see it. They'll know it. And Effie made a good point this morning. I was talking about the clerk at the water office, and Effie made a good point. Why can't people out in the public, you know, when they know they're doing a service, why can't they be nice to people? And you know what? I think a lot of it is they're so unhappy because they don't have Jesus. And all they can see is the circumstances of life. Sometimes, you know, now we have to have our glasses at this wonderful age to see. If I don't have my glasses on, well, I can see y'all, but I just can't read nothing. That's kind of what I deal with. So anyway, how we see things. So when we put on our glasses, we need to say, Lord, help me to put on your eyes, so I can see what this person's going through. You know, when I go to minister to people sometimes, I've been to some homes that these people were Christians, I've been told. And when I went in, I was expecting just to have a good, glorious talk and, well, let's pray and fellowship. And then, you know, I normally stay half an hour, 40 minutes when I visit somebody or so. And then I go on. But you know what? There have been times that I've walked into a home and I've seen people who were so defeated in their life because their eyes were on the circumstances that surrounded them. Now, once you look at Job's life, Job had lost everything. I mean, God allowed it, but God told Satan, you can't take his life. You cannot touch his life. You can do all this other, but you can't touch his life. I mean, Job had boils and sores. He was in immense pain, and his wife was coming to him saying, you know, are you going to continue to praise God? Look what he's done. Basically, trying to get Job to blast the Lord and rebel against him. And that's what the devil does today. The devil's got so many people ensnared in their situations and what's going on in life that that's where the mind sticks. If we would turn that around and if we would start just singing, do you know that 5 minutes worth of singing a hymn totally changes your outlook on the day and the things going on around you? And 5 minutes singing or praying to the Lord, it puts your heart in fellowship with God, and you start to focus on Jesus more. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot better to focus on Jesus than it is the external things going on, because the external things going on are temporary. But what we have in our heart, it's eternal. And that's what we've got to hold on to. So, in order to have the likeness of Jesus, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to work on us day by day. There was a song we used to sing when I was a kid, and it was called, I Am a Promise, I Am a Possibility, I Am a Promise with a capital P. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality, and I'm learning to hear God's voice, and I'm trying to make the right choice. Now, I'm telling you what, it is not a hard struggle living a Christian life. I hear people say this, well, it's just too hard. No, it's not. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have all the power, you have all the strength you need in Him, but we have to keep our eyes on Him and maintain that fellowship in order to retain that strength. So, I'm thankful to Calvary for that. How about you? Are you thankful? We really need to make it a point every day. Sometimes I throw people off. They'll say, well, how are you doing today? Well, man, I'm very thankful. Sometimes I walk, hey, happy Thanksgiving. They go, what? This is March or April or May. What are you saying happy Thanksgiving for? Well, because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what Jesus has given to me. If Job can sit in his condition and praise God, if Paul and Silas could sit in prison and sing praises to God and then watch God come on scene and bring them deliverance, then friends, in the same way, we should be thankful when we're going through difficult times, even when we're going through good times, because God is in control. And if we learn and keep that here, not here, because this right here changes constantly. I've said this, a lot of people, their minds are like concrete. They're all mixed up and set. But God can change that. He can. God can take anybody's mindset and He can change it. Because I told you what I was before I became a Christian. I didn't like people. I just didn't. I wanted to be by myself. I had a few good friends, and that was my circle. And I didn't want nothing to do with nobody else. I didn't like going to church. I'd been drugged to church all my life, and I thought, yep, I'm 18. I'm going to do what I want to do now. And when I got saved, I mean a big, huge turnaround in my life, and I'm thankful for Calvary. I'm also thankful for God's plan for our redemption. I'm thankful for how Calvary changed everything. And God wants to change and transform our lives today. God wants us to be different. But you know who's got to let it happen? Right here. This is the one that has to let it happen. I can't do it for anybody else. I can only do it for me. We should learn to grow in our transformed lives. We've got the Word of God, and that Word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God has given so much unto us. And really, I want to put the challenge out to you today. Be thankful for what God has given you. Be thankful when you come to Bosque Del Church. Be thankful. Like I said, I've seen God do more with just a handful of faithful people who were expecting God to do things and who were faithful. I've seen God do so many things. And things are tough, but God's greater. Learn to praise Him. Learn to be thankful. But always keep your eyes on Calvary, because that's where the most of our thanks should be. And I want to say this. I am thankful every day for each and every one of you, because in some way, in some part, you've touched my life and you've touched lives of other people around you. You may not hear it or you may not see it, but in some way, like those shoe boxes, we may not ever see all of the lives touched, but I'm telling you, it happens.